going on, guys?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Al. I was trying to play some music for y'all before the show came on, but dang, it wasn't working. Somebody asked me the other day, do I ever turn up? I'm like, yeah, I'm a regular person, too. I just choose to, you know, talk about real topics here and there, like we're talking about today. So what's going on, y'all? You know, it's 5:30. Some of y'all getting off work. Some of y'all sneaking calls in. But I appreciate it. Today we'll be covering the book called The War of Art. It's by Stephen Pressfield, you know. So he actually is the guy that created the book, The Legend of Bagger Vance. Yeah, it's a book that, it's a movie that Will Smith was in, actually. So, but this is Al Weekly. You know, we're just talking about these, the book club, and I'm giving you guys the best of the best. So if you didn't get the book, you know, you guys can get the best insights out of the book from my notes that I took here. So let's get into it. So my intention is for you guys to basically, this is actually a real important call. I actually will be listening to this again myself. I appreciate everybody that do listen to the replays and people that forward the links, because we actually get hundreds. We're in the low hundreds right now of the replays. You know, we may only have 20 or 30 people on a call sometimes, but when I check the back office, it's like hundreds of, you know, in the low hundreds of replays, so I appreciate that. But anyway, you know, the whole topic today is really talking about procrastination, you know, and that's why I really appreciate you guys listening in, because what we're talking about today is something that I'm actually living right now. You know, isn't it glad to have a host that's actually living what he's talking about, right? You know, in this book, The War of Art, you know, Stephen Pressfield talks about how we all live two type of lives. You know, we live the life we're living right now, and so we all live the life we live, and then we live the unlived life that's inside of us. So, you know, we all live, we all go to work, you know, we live in life, but a lot of us not living the life of our dreams because we're not taking actions on them, so we're actually living an unlived life as well at the same time is what he talks about. And so he actually talks about procrastination as being resistant. Like, this is a coin that he termed, you know, resistant. And so he says resistance is basically self-sabotage, you know, like we sabotage ourselves by not taking action on the thing that we know is our life purpose. He also says, you know, ask yourself. You may not know what resistance is, or I may just confuse you. Well, ask yourself this. Are you a writer that doesn't write? Are you a painter that doesn't paint? Are you a singer that doesn't sing? Are you a businessman that doesn't do business? Are you a mother that doesn't have any kids? If you know that within yourself, when it's just you alone all by yourself and that voice is talking to you, then you know what resistance is what he's saying. Resistance is that voice that tries to get us to not do what we know we're supposed to do on this earth. You know, and Stephen Pressfield has helped me out a whole lot. I wouldn't even be on this call right now if I haven't listened to these tapes, you know, and really got the conviction to just do what I know I'm supposed to do regardless of, you know, anybody else's opinion. So, yeah, you know, he talks a lot about self-validation, which we'll get into. You know, I have to use a lot of that on myself, you know, self-validating. But yeah, so he also talks about, you know, a lot of people don't live out their purpose, their life purpose until, you know, a life-threatening situation comes into play. Like, we think about Kanye West. You know, he was living out his purpose and everything, but, you know, when he got into that car accident, you know, that really woke him up, and he just started really going in for it. You know, he really started, really going in for his goal. So, you know, Stephen Pressfield talks about, is that what it takes? Like, does it take us staring death in the face for us to wake up finally and live our dream? You know, like, does it take death, almost death to find, you know, almost a death related experience for us to wake up and say, oh, I think I should do it. It shouldn't take all of that. You know, that's what he's saying. And so he also talks about Hitler. You know, he makes a surprising comparison, not comparison, but he makes a notation towards Hitler in the book. And he talks about how Hitler, after studying Hitler, he actually found out that Hitler had a dream to be a painter. You know, he went to painting school and, you know, got a certificate and all that. But what do we know about Hitler today? Hitler started World War One or Two, whichever one it was. I don't know which one it was. But, you know, he started World War Two, I guess, or whatever. So the whole point he was trying to say was that resistance stopped Hitler from being a painter. You know, it was easier to go to World War to start another a world war than stare at a blank canvas. You see, Hitler had a passion of doing painting, but he let resistance get in the way, you know, procrastination, you know, not fulfilling his life's purpose, his life's call, his soul's call, and he ended up doing some foolishness. A lot of you right now listening doing foolishness. You know, you know it's not nothing you love. Trust me, I've been there. I didn't made the hundreds of thousands a year. You know, I didn't made the $500,000 a day consistently and all that, and absolutely hated it. Well, I didn't hate it, but I knew it wasn't my life purpose at all. I just knew how to make money in that business, you know. And that's when I first found out about Stephen Pressfield. You know, when I had the business, I was doing business credit consulting. And that's when I found out about Pressfield. And I remember listening to them tapes, like crying sometimes, like, dang, you know, I know I'm supposed to write books. You know, I know I'm supposed to be a speaker on whatever level, you know, starting out. I know I'm supposed to share my message with the world. Somebody wants to hear me. I know I got value, but I would always procrastinate. You know, I would always let resistance get in the way, you know, make up excuses and stuff. So I thank God for Stephen Pressfield, but he was, you know, making that reference to Hitler. And he also talks about how important something is in your life, the more resistance you will have. So if you have a lot of, for you listening right now, if you have a lot of resistance towards something, like, I know I'm supposed to do it, you know, but what they going to say about me if I do it? I know I'm supposed to do it, but I may embarrass myself. Or I know I'm supposed to do this. I know God put me on this earth to do this, but it don't make any money. You don't know what it can make. You mean to tell me out of all these billions of people on this planet, not one person is making the money to take care of their family doing what they love, which is what you want to do? Not one person out of billions? Come on now. Don't buy into a false created story that you created. You know, you may see a lot of people not making money in it, but keep on looking. You get what you're looking for. Start looking for the people that are making money in your passion, you know? So he was saying that if you have a lot of resistance towards that, like if you procrastinate a lot, like, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I know what I was put here to do. He was saying then that's a good sign that, you know, that's your life purpose and that's something you're supposed to do. Another question that you may want to ask yourself, this is off topic. This is just something that I know. Another thing you want to ask yourself, if you're listening and you don't know your life purpose, you want to ask yourself, if I had $1 billion in the bank, you know, what would I do day to day if I had $1 billion in the bank? So, you know, you're not working for money anymore at this point. You got all the money. You even can live off the interest and let the principal sit there. So you may say, oh, okay, I may buy cars. I may do all this traveling. Okay, you do all that traveling, you buy everything, then what? Oh, that's going to get old after a little bit. And then you really start to find your life purpose when you just keep digging. Because a lot of times people are like, I'm going to get into real estate, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get into stocks, all because of the money, because they want the life, right? But if you already had all the money in the world, let's say $1 billion in your bank right now, then what would you do day to day? Then that whatever the answer is to that, that's your life purpose. Or if you had 6 months to live, would you be doing what you're doing right now? Probably not. You know what I'm saying? We need to be living a life that we was put here to be, man. This whole show is all about living life more abundantly, you know, exposing us to these ideas that can help us, you know, do that. Okay, let me get back on track. So he talks about resistance is the most powerful, resistance is fueled by fear. So what he's saying is that resistance or procrastination that we have is fueled by our fear in it. You know, and times we don't want to take action on the things that we knew we were put here to do is because of fear. Now, one of my friends that's a successful engineer in Baton Rouge, he actually put me on to something that's really simple, but I really think about this concept, and I've seen it work in my own life. You know, he talked to me one day about fear and faith. You know, think about it. Fear and faith is the same power that creates fear and faith. So just like you may have fear in doing your life purpose and the reason why you haven't been taking action on it for the last 5 years, 10 years, is because you have fear in it not working, or, you know, something bad happened, or you being ridiculed or whatever. You know, fear and faith work the same way. So if that fear has empowered people, circumstances, and events in your life to show you and validate to you that it's true because you keep gassing up the fear tank, then why don't we switch it and gas up the faith tank? It works the same way. The same things in our life that seem real and we validate it by fear, we can make those things that we think are impossible seem real and validate it by faith. You know, fear and faith work the same way. You know, we can make the impossible happen with faith and, you know, stay in a living hell with fear. So he was saying that procrastination is fueled by fear. He also talked about how resistance is most powerful at the finish line. So he was saying a lot of us, you know, when we get past resistance, we keep on working, and then when we see that we're about to finish up something, we just sit back and lay back like, I ain't got to spend another hour on this. Hell, I'm almost done with it. And he was saying when people do stuff like that, that's when they fall prey to temptation. You know, so he was saying when you're almost at the finish line, when you're about to finish something, just finish it. You know, because a lot of people, you know, they feel good that they did something 80, 90% of the way, and then they stop. They're like, well, I only got 10% left, you know. And then you talk to them, and that 10% been lagging for the last 5 years. So he was saying don't, when you get almost to the finish line, just speed it up. Just finish it. Also, he was saying that resistance recruits friends. So he was saying, you know, like when we start to live out our life purpose, you know, and some of our friends start to get jealous. You know, some of them start to get jealous that we're living out our life purpose. They start making up excuses like, you're not the same person you used to be, man, you know, or you're starting to be all positive now. So he was saying, look out, watch out for that, because resistance recruits friends. He was also talking about don't fall. He's basically saying don't bullshit yourself. Excuse my French. But he was saying don't bullshit yourself because, you know, I'm not. What are you talking about, Al? You know, I'm working on my goals, you know. I'm going to work on my goal. You know, I know what I was put here to do. It's not like I don't want to do it. I'm just going to do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and a whole lot of stuff comes up. And then you BS yourself. You're like, well, it's not like I'm not taking action on it. All this stuff just came up and I'll do it tomorrow. And then, you know, here we are, you know, 2 days later. And so he was saying, don't fall for that. I'll just do it tomorrow. Don't fall for that. Just do it now. Because right now, at this very moment, we can stop resistance, is what he was saying in the book. We can work on our work right now. You know, we can put down the phone, cut off the call, and just do our work. Start the first chapter in that book or whatever. You know, build that website for clients or start that dealership or take the first step or whatever it is you're doing. So he said, don't fall for that. I'll do it tomorrow. That's that procrastination. And so he also was saying that, he was saying that you got to watch out for the some of the resistance tools like sex, drugs, alcohol, TV and music is some of the most worst things that we use to blot out our soul's call, you know, is what he was saying. So we'll have sex with somebody, or we'll do drugs or watch TV, you know, and we'll say like, okay, you know, if I'm being intimate with this person, I really like this person. But at the end of the day, it's really you didn't want to face that. You didn't really want to do your work. You didn't really want to do your life's purpose. You really didn't want to write the first chapter in that book. So you'll go drink, or you'll go party and say, I'll do it tomorrow. So he was saying these are like resistance's tools that it tries to use on us. And he was saying, watch out for that. Also, he was saying that he understands why a lot of people don't do what they know they was put here to do, because they get more attention by doing foolish things. Like he was saying, you know, why put in years of work? He said, why put in years of, you know, creating a new software interface that would change the world, when you could just bring, when you can get just as much attention by bringing home a boyfriend with a prison record? Oh, man, you guys should get the audio tape, The War of Art, man. I love the guy who narrates it. He's really, the way he does it is really awesome, but I was laughing the whole time. But, you know, so he was saying that we all looking for attention, and he was saying, why put in years of, you know, creating a new software when you could just get as much attention as bringing home, you know, somebody that your parents, you know, basically wouldn't approve of, or your family. So, but he was just talking about we got to think more long term and delay instant gratification. Also, he was talking about how, this is powerful right here. He was talking about how his own resistance in writing the book, this book here, you know, the resistance started to mess with him. The guy who created the book, right? He started saying, like, you know, the resistance started saying, you know, why would you write a book like this? Who's going to listen to you talk about this kind of topic? Yeah, we'll listen to you talk about The Legend of Bagger Vance or some other books you wrote, but this is a whole new genre you're going into. You know, a whole new audience. You know, why? Who's going to listen to you? So what he said was, and I can relate to this, he said that it made a lot of sense. You know, a lot of things that you want to do right now, and you listen to the justifications in your head, like, well, why should I do that? You know, I got kids, or I'm in school, or this is probably going to mess with my job if they find out I'm doing this. But guess what? You know, he said that he understood all the value, everything that his mind was telling him was true. But guess what? He said that even though all those things were true, he was so unhappy not going ahead. He was miserable. Just like you. You're miserable because you're not going ahead taking actions on the things that you knew you were put here to do. So he said that he just kept going, you know, kept moving forward because he was so unhappy not going forward. I can feel him on that, because anytime in the past, because I'm on point now, but anytime in the past I wasn't moving forward with my real life purpose, it was like a silent desperation or something. You know, but what I feel is when you actually live out your life purpose in some shape, form, or fashion, right? I may not be on stage yet. I'm talking about me, Al. I may not be on stage yet, YET, talking to 5,000 people or 50,000 people, right? But I got you on the call, and you're listening to me. And hundreds will listen to this download within the next 7 to 8 days. So in some form or shape, I'm living out my purpose, even though it's on a lower level at the moment, you know, because I know where I'm going. This is 2015, you know, who knows where we'll be in, you know, where I'll be in 30 days or 60 days. But anyway, so, you know, I was so unhappy not going ahead, like driving myself crazy, because you know what you're supposed to do. So, you know, that's I feel like, you know, when you start living out your life purpose in some shape, form, or fashion, that it actually helps your work life. You know, you'll be happier even with your kids, with your spouse, because you're connected to your what you was put here to do. You know, so I feel like you tap into a deeper source of energy and power even while you're working your job and doing certain things, I feel like your relationships, money, everything just naturally expands even more when you just start doing your life purpose. So if you're a painter, you know, it may not make no money, but, you know, you're happy painting and you want to put those, you know, on sale. Do it. Van Gogh never sold a painting in his whole life. And now he's one of the most famous, his paintings go for millions of dollars. I think he only sold like one or none of them in his whole life. You guys have heard of Van Gogh, you know? I mean, some people look at that like, well, he should have got a job or he should have just did something. Nah, that man lived his life. You know, he didn't see it happen in his lifetime, but now we all know his name. So basically, some other notes he was talking about was, he was talking about how, you know, you need to go pro. He was talking about going pro, pros and amateurs. So he was saying when you're living out your life purpose, you need to decide to go pro. And basically going pro is, you know, saying the battle must be fought every single day. And that's true. You know, I mean, I do these calls and, you know, I got the website and I'm still writing my book. You know, it'll be ready by May. That's the projection, my first book. Clap, 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 right? But basically, the battle has to be fought every single day. It's challenging to write a book, you know, 500 words or more a day. It's challenging to do that. You know, you can make up excuses and say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. It's challenging to get on these calls sometimes, you know, because some people listen to this call that know me intimately may listen to me and say, what is he doing on a call? He got this going on in his life. He got that going on in his life. And 9 times out of 10, the people that saying that are the people that's not on purpose. They're making up excuses why they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But, you know, like I said, it don't matter what's going on with me personally in some areas. I'm so unhappy not going ahead. You see what I'm saying? So I have to go ahead. It's not like I have a gun in my head or you have a gun in your head doing your thing, but to life when I'm doing these calls, you know, and providing value to people. See what I'm saying? So he talks about going pro. So the battle must be fought every single day. So he was saying that you can learn a lot about going pro, going from an amateur to going pro. So what he was saying was an amateur is people that they kind of play around with their purpose. You're doing it right now probably, right? Just play around with their purpose. They're like, you know, I did something 2 or 3 days last month out the month on my purpose, and that'll be good enough. Or they just do it on the weekends. You know, they just kind of play with it. But going pro is no. Every single day I'm writing a blog, you know, or every single day, you know, I am, you know, every single day I am, you know, going to, you know, send a quote out every day or whatever to build your audience on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is, right? So that's what he said what going pro is. So he was saying you can learn a lot about going pro from your day job right now. Isn't that something? So let me help you out a little bit. Me and Steve are going to help you all out a little bit, all right? He said turning pro is similar to your job. So he was saying, number one, at your job, you show up every day, right? You show up every single day on your job to get that paycheck. So we need to show up every single day in your life purpose. Do something every day. Number two, on your job, you show up no matter what. You go to job, you go to work, you can damn have a broken toe. You still showing up. People limping to work, crutches to work. So we should do that in our life purpose, right? We should show up no matter what. Even if we don't feel like it, still do that call, still write that 500 words a day or whatever if you're writing a book. You know, still just do something with that painting. They'll make that call that may could be the next step to you getting that building that you want. Do something every day no matter what. He also talks about number three, you stay on your job all day. You stay on there from 9 to 5, right? Just think about this. Just think about what you do for somebody else's business, and you're not even doing it for your life purpose. Like, you should be getting mad. Like, I know I'm laughing, but you should be getting mad at this, like, for real. So you stay on the job all day. You say you're going to do something for 30 minutes on your purpose, then do it for those 30 minutes, you know? do it for those 30 minutes. You know, cut off the phone, cut off social media, and just focus on that, is what he's trying to say. And number four, you commit, what does it say? Oh, gosh, I can't even read my own handwriting. Oh, man, that's a shame, huh? So number four, he talks about we work for money. So he was saying, you know, in your life purpose, what you know you was put here for, you know, make sure you get money from it. You know, I'm doing my thing. You know, I got people on my email list. You know, I'm writing a book. You guys are going to be purchasing that soon. I make money off howtochangemylife.org through AdSense, right? Every time you go on there, you see the big ad at the top. I make money from that. You know, so I don't do it for money because it's my life purpose. But, you know, we just happen to make, you know, going to make millions of dollars in this industry. Just what it is. But he was saying, make sure you get money from your purpose, because when you go to work, you work for money. You know, this is a comparison and a correlation to what you do on your job right now in reference to what you could be doing in your life purpose as well at the same time. So number six, he said, you don't over-identify with your job. Like, you don't take it too seriously. You don't look at your job like, I am my job. And so what he was saying is, with your life purpose, a lot of people are like, well, I'm not going to take any action because they got to be perfect. You know, I'm not going to take any action because, you know, this is my work. This is my baby. You know, if it come out wrong, then you know, that's a reflection on me. That's just an excuse not to do nothing. I'm sorry. You know it and I know it. You know, he was saying you don't over-identify with your job, so don't over-identify with your work. Just put it out there and practice the ready, fire, aim instead of aim, ready, fire. You know, ready, fire, aim. Take action and go back and look at the action you took and just recorrect from there. Okay, number seven, he said, we master the technique of our jobs. So on your job right now, you master that. You know, you do ongoing education, right? You know, you take the company's seminars to do ongoing education. You read about your job position to do it better. So he was saying, in our life purpose, we need to do the same thing. When we take an action, like with me, I've just bought a course on how to do public speaking. Things that I learned was, you know, when you're doing public speaking, before you actually do it, whatever clothes you're going to wear, you need to practice in those clothes. You need to sit down if you're going to be sitting down, you know, stand up, practicing if you're going to stand up, you know, these kind of things. You need to invest in mastering your craft, you know, because you do it on your job. You know, so, and then the last one, he said that we have a sense of humor about our job. You know, so in your job, you don't take it too seriously, like I was saying before. You know, so he's saying with your life purpose, you know, take it seriously, you know, enough to take some action, but don't, you know, let it throw you off if you make a mistake, is what he was saying. So, he's basically talking about, A lot of us don't take action on our life purpose because we don't want to face the cowards we are for not taking action. And you know you're a coward right now. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You know you're a coward for not living out your life purpose at this point and making up excuses or doing it and not doing it and doing it and not doing it. We take alcohol, drugs, sex, you know, music, TV. We look at these things to blot out our soul's cry. Our soul's cry that's telling us what we know we're supposed to do, you know? And if we keep blotting it out with these things, you know, liquor, TV, and all that kind of stuff, because we don't want to face the cowards we are for not doing what we were sent here to do. You were sent here to do something. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. On the average, I actually looked this up, on the average sperm that comes out of a man, 250 million sperm. It takes, I know some people get pregnant, you know, straight out the gate, but some people have to try three or four times before that person actually gets pregnant. So that's almost a billion sperm, a billion. And a sperm can live in a woman, what, 3 or 4 days or whatever? So that's almost a billion, and the people going back to back, you know, that's almost a billion sperm. And you were the only sperm that made it. You don't think that's special? You know, or you may think it's special, but that means that you were put here for that purpose of the soul, of your own soul crying out to you, screaming to you. I know when I was doing that business, man, I knew loud and clear, you know, and you know loud and clear. So just starting today, don't even do it tomorrow. When we get off this call, just do it. Take some type of action towards your life purpose, man. Like, send an email to somebody. Call somebody. We build websites. I mean, hit me up, you know, if you need to get that going or whatever. But do something towards your life purpose. You're going to feel so much better about yourself. Trust me. Like, when I get off this call, I'm going to feel great. I'm actually going to go jogging for a few miles when I get off this call. When I jog, I'm going to be feeling so great that I'm doing what I know I was put here to do, and I'm not BSing and you know, being selfish. That's all you're doing is being selfish if you're not living out your life purpose, because other people are dependent on you, you know. I'm dependent on you. You know, the world is dependent on you. Your kids are dependent on you. Your future kids, if you don't have any, are dependent on you. You know, don't let the selfishness or things that you see in your life right now control what your life purpose is. Like I said, if you guys knew certain things that was going on with me, you'd be like, well, you know, why should I do a call with these people? You know, why should I have a website called howtochangemylife.org? You know, look at this that's going on with me. Look at that that's going on with me. You know, and I ain't going to lie, sometimes I do, those thoughts do come in my head, and I'd be like, man, why are you doing these calls? Not like I don't believe in what I'm saying. It's not like I haven't had success or I don't believe in it. It's not that. It's just with some things that's currently happening right now that I speak that's totally not a part of my life, you know, sometimes I buy into the message. But I'm so, it's like the passion is deeper than all that. You know what I'm saying? It's like the passion is so deep that I don't care what's going on, I'm going to move forward with the passion and the purpose and what I was put here to do. And I feel like by taking those actions, per se, I'm fueled by my being, and my being is fueled by the purpose, or something like that. She said, I had the quote on my Facebook page, but it's like, I was thinking about that today as I was driving. I said, well, why do I continue? Because I can make up excuses just like you do, you know, so for the people who haven't took no action at all, or take some action and don't, take some action and don't. But for me personally, it's like the passion is so deep. I know I got value. You know, I know certain things I experienced and things that I've read that a certain part of the world needs to hear and would love to hear from me, like some of you guys or all of you guys. So, you know, it's like the passion is so deep. I just don't even see the obstacles. I mean, maybe this will help some of you guys, like, take some action. Like, I don't even see the obstacles. You know, I don't even see certain things in my life that's happening, you know, that's basically disappearing at this point. You know, I put it like that. And so I don't let control my actions as far as my purpose, which I'm passionate about, you know, which is, you know, being an example and an inspiration to people based on, you know, me winning in my own life. You know, so that's why whenever I wasn't winning in life, you know, it kind of bothered me, because I'm like, dang, I know I was put here to, like, be an inspiration, you know, and an example to people of what is possible. So, you know, but I appreciate you guys listening in. I don't mean to go off on a rant, but I really, you know, I just want you guys to take some action if you haven't, you know, just do something. You know, you're going to feel better about yourself. If you need help, reach out to people that's already doing it. You know, just start off small. Just do something once a week or something. You know, do something. You know, don't hold back. You know, you're basically destroying yourself. Like he was saying in the book, you're destroying yourself by not doing these things. So this is Al. I appreciate you guys listening in. You know, The War of Art, this is our book club, Al Weekly. You know, we'll be doing that on Sunday. We'll come up with some topic or whatever, but this is the book club. So it's howtochangemylife.org. I appreciate you guys putting your email address in when you go to the website. You know, we send out those emails weekly. And, yeah, so you guys check out the site. And this is Al. I appreciate you guys listening in. And love y'all. Y'all have a good night.